You don't think, oh, flour, butter, sugar, black pepper. It's not usually the ingredient that rolls off the tip of your tongue.
That's Alyssa Altman. She's the writer behind the book and the blog, Poor Man's Feast. Altman never really had a sweet tooth, but when her partner came home one day and baked a sour cherry pie with a black pepper crust, Altman was hooked.
And we have used the black pepper pie crust, which sounds completely counterintuitive, over and over again. Anything that is sour, a little bit pungent, works really well.
I'm Evan Kleiman, and you're listening to Good Foods Piecast, our special bonus podcast all about pie. This month, I want to talk about tweaking your baking, new approaches you can take, and unusual ingredients you can add. We've all eaten an apple pie, but how do you make one gluten-free? To find out, I spoke with the gluten-free girl, Shauna James Ahern.
It's funny because I think even the folks who can eat gluten are terrified of pie crust.
It's like true.
There's nothing more terrifying. The nuclear crisis in North Korea is far less terrifying than making a pie crust. It cracks me up.
It is really funny. I mean, I just taught a couple of pie classes over the weekend, and people are terrified.
They really are. And I think part of the reason that they're terrified is because of the gluten. You know, it's very easy when you are beginning to make pie crust to overwork the dough because you're just so determined. You get people with the looks on their faces like, I am going to make the best pie dough. And I'm like, no, that's not the right way to do it. But because of that, the gluten in most flours that we make pie doughs with, it gets tough right away. And then they make a terrible pie crust. So the good news, gluten-free is much easier.
Is it much easier because it's not fighting us at every turn?
Absolutely. There's no way for it to toughen up. And even if you overwork the dough, and I've seen this, and I know that people who really know how to make pies can do this with gluten as well, but it's very easy gluten-free. You roll out the pie dough, you flop it into the pie pan, and if part of it breaks off, you just kind of pat it into the pan and it repairs itself and becomes a tender, flaky crust.
That was my question. Is it flaky or is it crumbly?
Oh, it can be flaky if you make it the right way. I mean, like everyone, I thought gluten was necessary for pie dough, but I'm sure you know this. What's really necessary for flaky is cold. You need cold butter, cold flour, ideally, even if you're using a food processor, the cold blade of the food processor, and moving quickly.
Do you use a particular kind of mix that you create or that you can buy?
Well, in our new cookbook, Gluten-Free Girl Every Day, we have an all-purpose flour mix, which works very, very well. I wouldn't recommend the whole grain mix. As much as I like whole grains, I don't think whole grain pie is good. I just think pie should be pie. And then we'll be debuting on our website soon a pastry flour mix, which is much whiter and finer and softer, and it makes an extraordinary pie.
So give us the technique. How do you work with it?
Well, the great thing is if you weigh your flours rather than using cup for cup, and once you kind of figure it out, you can even do it by sight. For every 1 cup of gluten all-purpose flour, you use 140 grams of gluten-free all-purpose flour. And once you have your ingredients weighed out, it's the same. It's making pie dough. You want a really cold flour. You want your cold butter cut into cubes. You can use leaf lard too if you have it and you want to. Get those up. I think that what works best in pie dough, but certainly gluten-free pie dough, don't break your butter down to the size of peas, but instead look for lima beans. And so you'll get that fat flour, a lovely, you know, sort of tier of goodness, and then a little bit of ice cold water.
Do you cut it in the same, or can you just throw
it
all in
exactly the same?
Mm.
It's flour, and that's what we sort of, again, we think of wheat as the flour, but the flour just means a grain ground down into a powder. You know, once you have your flour in the bowl or in the bowl of the food processor, it's the same process.
And is it the type of flour that ends up being a little sticky? Do you have to roll it between wax paper?
Yeah, I think that's a very important point. Yes, rolling it between, I like parchment paper. It helps because you won't be adding more flour to the mix when you're rolling it out on flour. It's not that big a deal, but if you want to maintain the ratio. Also, it keeps the counters clean. When I lived in New York, my roommates all called me Pie, and they were very happy because I made a pie almost every weekend, if not more often, but they were not happy about how often there was flour left on the counter. So rolling it between 2 pieces of parchment paper gets rid of that.
Shauna, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Maybe you can't eat wheat flour, but what about hibiscus flowers? Mish Bakker is the author of Cooking with Flowers. She likes to bake a hibiscus cream pie. In Southern California, we love hibiscus because we're used to drinking it as a tea.
Right, right. And now you can throw it into pie. And in fact, in that pie recipe, I actually use the hibiscus throughout. I use it in the crust I use it in the cream, and I use it in the whipped cream that goes on top. So you've got layers of hibiscus.
Are you using the hibiscus in its fresh or dried form?
I use it in both fresh and dried form in that recipe. Not only do you get the different colors of the hibiscus because of the concentration of color, but you actually do get different flavors. The dried hibiscus works in the crust. The crust needs something pretty sturdy to stand up and stand out. And then inside the cream, it's good to use the fresher hibiscus because the cream is so delicate, it doesn't need something overwhelming and overpowering.
The photograph of the pie in your book shows an ombre look with slight gradations of color. How did you manage that?
Any flour that you used, when you take the flour and you spin it in sugar, the sugar will take on the color of the flour. So you can get this range, this rainbow of sugars, if you will. And then when you use those sugars, they'll naturally turn your food the color of the flour.
So beautiful. So the sugar has been made with fresh flours?
Yes, correct.
And that's how you get the flavor into the cream. Now, what about the pastry cream?
The pastry cream, you can use fresh, you can use dried, and or you could even use candied hibiscus in the pastry cream. And each one of them is going to yield a little bit different color and a little bit different flavor. The fresh hibiscus will be the most subtle of all the flavors. The candied hibiscus, you know, you have to make sure that you drain it fairly well, but it'll make your pastry cream a combination of sweet and tart. And then the dried actually kind of makes your pastry cream, takes it down a notch, makes it tart. So you've got this very silky, smooth, but tart pastry cream.
Bakker warns that you should make sure that your flours are organic. You really don't want to be eating pesticides. Find her beautiful hibiscus pie recipe on the Good Food blog. My next guests are Alex Brown and Evan George. Evan, of course, also has this other small job. He's a producer here at KCRW. And Alex is a cheesemonger for Gourmet Imports. In their spare time, they're a pair of vegetarian party boys called the Hot Knives.
Alex got addicted to a new powder. It's called kudzu starch. And he started making everything with it, including this coconut filling.
Okay, so I always want to learn something new. And I have to say that I've been playing with every starch under the sun to make pies. I've never even heard of this starch. So tell me, does it come from that kudzu plant that is a horrible weed everywhere in the South?
Yeah, it does. It's funny, the way that I became aware of the starch, and it's one of those annoying things that you can only find at Whole Foods or health food stores. There's a brand called Eden Organics, and it has this like cool, picturesque crane on it. And the bag looks like a bag of crack. Like it's you know, sort of jagged, powdery little lumps. It's not smooth or free-flowing at all, but you can grind it up. It's a very, very quick-acting thickener that has, you know, almost no residual flavor, and it binds really, really, really fast and makes really thick, thick, thick pastes.
Do you need heat for it to bind?
Yeah.
You're cooking with it.
Yeah, but you don't have to cook things like if you were using agar, especially if you use like the cheap stuff, which we recommend that you can buy at like an Asian grocery store, those like weird like wafer sticks of agar-agar, which is a derivative of a certain kind of seaweed. That you have to really cook the hell out of. This is a very, very gentle thing. So especially in this instance where you're adding it to something like coconut milk, you don't have to cook the hell out of it, which will ultimately separate or scald the milk.
You end up thickening without using cornstarch and without using egg yolks.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the idea. I mean, you can't do meringue with it, but it's kind of the idea of just having like a really clean, light, but dense like pastry cream just to put fruit on top of.
So is that your base into which you then playfully mix things?
Sure.
Free-flowing association. Give me some ideas.
For the coconut cream recipe, we played a lot with putting fresh fruit on top. So just straight up blueberries, strawberries, grilled pineapple or roasted pineapple. We do a pie that we call rummerized pineapple where it's braised in rum.
That sounds wonderful. Do you use the kudzu starch to thicken those pies?
Not necessarily. Those come out because you're cooking down the sugars and you're adding extra booze. Like once the booze evaporates and the lovely flavors remain, they'll thicken up on their own and they'll set once you put them, once you've baked the crust. But
so you're almost like making a pie jam.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk to me a little bit about the vegan crust.
So everything's pretty much as it should be. The shortening is instead a Earth Balance brand shortening. It looks like shortening. It comes in stick form. It's best to keep it in the freezer and work with it the same way you might other fatty products. And after spending a couple weeks with my mother-in-law, Carol, who is a pie master herself, we started adding a little bit of cider vinegar to the end of the dough per her instructions. And I still cannot make a pie that approaches Carol's pies, but I think we got a little bit closer that summer.
Yeah, the vinegar tames the gluten just a tad. Do you know what those shortening sticks are made out of? Is it a coconut oil base?
Very unfortunately, it's palm oil. So
it must make a great crust.
It does. It's fatty. It's a little salty. Leaves stains all over yourself like a good pie should.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Thanks, Evan. Fun.
That was Alex Brown and Evan George, the Hot Knives. One of their pie recipes is waiting for you over on the Good Food blog. We have one more slice of pie today from Jason Anthony. He's the author of Hoosh, a book that looks at what people eat when they visit Antarctica. The menus include lots of seal blubber and biscuits, but Jason also has a story about a very, shall we say, special pie. A baker named Jim Morgan served it in the 1950s on a base run by Australian researchers.
Jim Morgan had, among his customers, as it were, among the men at the base, he had someone who was always complaining about finding hair in his food. Every meal he would complain about this. It wasn't just ordinary hair. He was talking about finding what he called a short and curly hair in his food. Mr. Morgan got a little tired of this. So he made a series of I think they were small custards. This was a nice little crust over the top. Everyone was watching the man carefully as he stuck his spoon into the little pie and pulled up an entire spoonful of hair. His reaction hasn't been recorded for posterity, but it did cure him of ever complaining about finding hair in his food again.
Hopefully your pie fillings will be much more appetizing. You can find a bakery's worth of recipes on the Good Food blog. While you're there, sign up for our pie contest happening September 7th at LACMA. The deadline to enter is September 1st. Also on the Good Food blog is a link for you to my new online craftsy.com class. I teach you over 2 hours to make what else? The best pie crust ever. The podcast was produced by Sarah Rogozin. Jillian Ferguson is our supervising producer, and our executive producer is Harriet Ells.